That's the only thing to watch anymore, you know?
Weather.
That's right. And then you can guess whether they're right or not.
That's the only job with job security to get it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other job, you get it wrong, you're fired. Like, that's kind of people.
That's right. Oh, goodness.
We were yesterday, I mean, it really, like, took Atlanta by surprise yesterday when they were starting to talk about it. I was like, whoa, 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 where'd that come from?
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I got a feeling there won't be people going out tomorrow if it's even mentioned that it's going to snow.
Well, it's going to snow starting this tonight. And then so the warning that I read yesterday was for black ice on Friday morning. So you're right. Nobody's going to be moving.
Long weekend.
Yeah. Except we're headed to the North Georgia Mountains for the marriage retreat. So we're going to...
Oh, that'll be beautiful.
It will be gorgeous. And the roads, they'll be clear so quick.
Yeah.
By 10 o'clock, they said it's supposed to be above freezing.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
unlike
great.
Yeah. So anyway, who just joined us? Who else?
This is Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning,
Rachel.
Good morning.
Well, we are going to get started. Hey, Rachel, can you text Melissa and just tell her, hey, wake up, it's time to get on the call?
Yes, I will. I'll do it right now. Hold on.
Thank you. I'm giving Rachel more and more responsibilities for her team members. It's just so fun. She got to, last night we had studio time, and she got to do role play with Melissa. Well, I just
got
that.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Do y'all have another guest night tomorrow night?
No. Tomorrow night's glamour night, but I'm at the marriage retreat.
It's our
marriage retreat weekend that Scott and I run for the church.
Uh-huh.
So we had one scheduled, but it got snowed out.
Oh, okay.
So next Friday we have another one.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to your results.
Oh, my gosh. They're fantastic. I love it. Everybody's, like, raving about the – and I had the $100 bills printed on pink paper, so now it's called Pink Bucks.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. Anyway, well, let's get started. I want to say good morning and welcome to everybody for being here. I first want to quickly go through what each person found their love language to be. And I was sharing with my mom earlier, I want you guys to understand that the results were receiving love languages. Giving love languages generally are not the same as a receiving love language. So just understand that, because when you're like, yeah, no, that's not how I really give back, that's okay and that's expected. Just like, you know, two couples that are exactly the same personality type don't really work well together. Kind of the same thing. A person with both of the same love languages is very confused on receiving and giving.
Okay, that explains it all.
Yeah, see, exactly. But let's go ahead and get started. So, Brenda, what were your findings on your study, on your profile?
The primary one was quality time, which surprised me just a little bit because I thought for sure it would be affirmations, but affirmations came in a close second.
Interesting. So, Very good. And I can see that. I can see that with you. I really can, believe it or not.
Yep. Well, when I listened to the examples they gave in both books, because I was listening to the other book as well, the singles, and
right.
I could see it in very clearly.
Good. Very good. Isn't the singles one really good?
It is. It's very good.
Mom, I'll burn CDs. Or I'll show you how to download it on your phone so you can listen to it off of my Audible. Either one. But it is really good. Rachel,
okay.
What were your findings?
My number one was quality time as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes.
So what was your secondary?
My secondary was acts of service and physical touch tied.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I can see that. I can definitely see that. Very interesting. Very cool. And, Mom, what were yours?
Well, on the with the giving and the receiving one, I get two too, Brenda.
Yeah.
On the, huh?
On the receiving.
On the receiving, my strongest is quality time, and then I have a tie between words of affirmation and acts of service.
Right. Okay. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So my mom took the two tests. So one is the receiving, like what's your love language, as we say, and then the giving is a different test. It's basically how do you share your love with, how do you show other people you appreciate them, and that kind of explains the difference. So I was telling my mom, I said that's kind of funny because in the past, now of course, Rachel did ask me last night. She said, "Can people's love languages change?" And the answer is, absolutely, without question, your love language can change. A lot can cause that. A divorce can cause the love language to change. A death can cause love languages to change.
Mm-hmm.
Just overall maturity can cause love languages to change. You know, a younger guy's love language, you know, in his teens or early 20s, it's probably going to lean towards physical touch. But as they get older, it will lean away from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So
a lot of
just
things.
So y'all understand. Good. So it can absolutely change. Yeah.
Did you say what yours were?
I did not. Thank you, Brenda. that is very good. I appreciate that. So my love language is acts of service is my primary. And words of affirmation are my secondary.
Okay.
So, for instance, you know, an act of service we'll go into, but it's when, and it's hard for me to receive it, which is kind of funny, but it's when people, or mainly, you know, like people close to me do something for me unexpectedly. Like, for instance, Scott putting up the Christmas decorations where I didn't have to ask him to do it at all. That was great. That was like, oh, my gosh, he really does get me. So does that kind of help explain that a little bit before we go into depth about it?
Yep.
Okay.
Melissa.
Cool. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. So we were just talking about, we were sharing what the profile results were for your love language. So what did your profile tell us about you?
They like words of affirmation, but mostly I am... the services,
acts
of service. Yeah.
That is so funny. You know why that is so funny, Melissa? Because what did I say? I told Melissa last night that she and I are very, very similar in our personality types, the DISC. And so I gave her example. That's exactly my love languages, Melissa. I just shared that before you dinged in.
Oh, wow.
So that's so funny because... that's me, acts of service, and then words of affirmation. That is hilarious. So quality time is what my love language used to be. Like I said, your love language can change based on your circumstances. So quality time used to be my love language when Scott went to the office every day, day in and day out. Now that he's home for 3 to 4 days out of the week, I don't need that anymore. I'm good. I mean, like, I have plenty of that time. So that's an example, too, of how your circumstances can kind of change how you're feeling love. And because he's home, and, you know, even though he's working from home, when he does acts of service around the house that gives me a break that I don't have to, that's when I feel the love.
Right.
So do y'all see how that circumstance can change situations as well?
Yes.
For love language as well? Good. I want to share an example for you guys of, this is a spouse situation, but I also want to share with kids as well. And Melissa, I'm going to use you as an example. So all of you guys were with us at January Jumpstart, and Melissa was, we were going to lunch, and Melissa sent me a, I think I shared this last week, but she sent me, or she was telling me, she goes, oh, my gosh, you know, Jeffy sent me a text. He's cleaning the house and, you know, da-da-da-da. And I said, that's awesome. I said, just respond back. Or when you get home, just be sure to go, oh, my gosh, Jeffy, this is so amazing. Thank you so much. You don't know how much that means to me. Oh, my gosh, I cannot thank you enough. I said, trust me, it will go miles for you. And be sure to tell him you shared with us what he was doing. And so she sent me a text later that night, right, Melissa? And she's like, oh,
yes.
My gosh, you have this tag. She came home from a meeting on Monday night, and he was cleaning out all the cabinets because she did well with those words of affirmation.
Yeah. I was surprised.
Right? It's weird how that works. But you and we teach this in Mary Kay, but at a different, you know, not at, I don't know that I've taught this actually, but you affirm the behavior you want. And that is a key. When words of affirmation are a love language, be sure to affirm the behavior you want, because otherwise you're not going to get any more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you guys?
That makes sense.
Okay, good. So I want to give you an example of the opposite. And I'm going to talk more about words of affirmation. We're going to go into detail about that. But them really having to matter, them really having to be on point, because let's say you just do this random words of affirmation. If you do it over and over and over again, is the person going to believe you day in and day out? No. It's going to be like, really? Oh, is that on your recorder kind of thing? I'm going to give you an example of that. And a couple of Monday nights ago, I was just in the front of the studio, and I just overheard a director telling one of her consultants before the meeting started, I am just so proud of you. I am just so proud of you. And the consultant said, for what? All I did was show up to the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me like a brick wall in the sense of, oh, my goodness, I have read about this and read about this, but how true it is when we give, I call them, you know, like loose affirmations or just not of weight. So just light affirmations, not of weight, not of value, not of depth. Because just the random, it's just like, okay, great. All I did was show up. You know? And I thought, wow, okay. So that
it's
was
kind of like telling everybody, good to see you, good to see you, good to see you.
Right. Exactly. I love what my grandmother says. My mother's mother says, it's good to be seen. She cracks me up with that every time. I'm like, Nana, it's so good to see you. She said, it is good to be seen. So that's a lesson. When somebody says it's good to see you, your response seems to be, well, it's good to be seen. It's kind of a funny comeback, right? So, and then, mm-hmm. You know, it really does make you think rather than just the answer. You know, we get so used to just the recorder, the standard, the, you know, the, how are you? I'm good. How are you? I'm fine. No, you know, and we've got to break out of that because it's a routine that we get into that is exactly that, a routine affirmation. And so they need to have substance. They need to have value. So a couple of things I want to share with you guys that I really got out of the chapters, as well as things I want you to think about, is this was huge for me. The tongue has the power of life and death. And that's Proverbs 18:21. How true is that? You can cut someone down and raise somebody up with the same tongue. And the majority of the time, it's the tone of your voice. I know my grandfather used to say that my grandmother could tell him off, yet in the same, and just one word, and it was his name. His name was Johnny. And she could say Johnny, and it was all in how she said it that could tell him, you have disappointed me, or I love you.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the tone of voice. And so that is something, too, I want to talk about with words of affirmation, because many times over, we would talk with our boys, like we would hear them bickering, and my mother can relate because my nephews are exactly the same way. And we used to say to them, you're like two old women bickering back and forth, like back and forth and back and forth. And it's like it gets old listening to it, right? For you guys that have multiple children or just are around people like that, it just gets old and it wears on you. And we used to say to them, when one would come back at the other, we'd say, tone. That's all we would say is tone, and that means get it in check because I'm not liking the way it sounds right now. So we need to focus on that, because if you're saying words of affirmation, yet your tone of voice is descending, condescending, like, you know, if I said this guy, well, thanks for taking down the Christmas decorations, like, it's about time, is what my tone said. But if I say, I really appreciate you taking down the Christmas decorations, you see the difference in the same exact sentence, but it's all in the tone that I use, and that's so powerful when you're talking with people and when you're talking with customers. I'm going to give an example in Mary Kay world. When a customer calls and says, I really don't like this, let's say the gel eyeliner, for instance. I'm really not liking this gel eyeliner. It's not working for me. It's too dry. And you're like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? I love that product. Well, you just told her her opinion doesn't matter because you love that product. But if I said, oh, my gosh, seriously? Oh, wow. I love that product, but I completely understand. Right there is a perfect example of, are you kidding me? I love that product. Like, you're stupid. I can't believe you said that. See, wow, I'm compassionate, and I understand what you're saying. Now, I personally love the product, but I totally understand where you're coming from. Do y'all see where that can work to your disadvantage in your business and to your advantage? A good example is when a customer, and this, again, is an example for Melissa, has returned 18 lipsticks. Because she just can't get the right shade. And she only ordered $40 worth of product to begin with. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, seriously, that's when you really have to make sure your tone is in check when you're talking. The other thing that I want to share, too, is that the reason most people take things wrong in text messages is because text messages and emails have no inflection. They can't hear your tone or feelings. They can't hear your tone. They can't feel your tone. They can feel it if it's all in caps or it's got exclamation points throughout, but they cannot hear how you are feeling about what you're saying. So remember that when you're texting stuff. I'm going to give an example of this, and everybody on the call, Mom, except you, knows this person. But and I'll tell you guys who it is so you can pay attention to that. It's Cindy Jackson Williams, and she uses humor to defend against some self-confidence issues. That's my personal, professional opinion. She's not said that. That's just how I take it. And so she got invited to the big girls lunch yesterday because she's in DIQ. Awesome. She loved it. You know, so we were at the tea house. Well, I didn't know when I scheduled all these out, so I scheduled them for 6 months. I didn't know yesterday was an early release for Cobb County. I don't have kids in the school system really anymore. I mean, the one that's there drives, so I don't really care about days off. I don't pay attention to that. But I don't pay attention to Cobb County anyway because we're in Cherokee. So anyway, long story short, she only could stay for a little while. But she sent me a text last night, and she said, really enjoyed the Big Girls Club. Look forward to being finishing up DIQ so I can be there next month. So, by the way, can you make sure it's not on an early release day, would you? And then she just put a smiley face behind it. Now, I know her tone. right? We all know Cindy Jackson Williams. That's how she talks, right? She jokes around. It's just her. But if I didn't know her, could I be completely offended by that?
Oh, yeah.
Totally, right? So understanding the person, and I actually am going to work with her on this, because it hit me in the way of, I know her, but somebody else might not the way that I do. And that could hurt her in the end. And so I really feel like she needs to be aware of it, kind of, you know. And I know it's a self-confidence thing. It's this wall that I'm going to hide behind this because of whatever. But anyway, so that's just an example of how a text can come across completely the wrong way, even with the smiley face after it, or LOL, ha ha ha. Rachel, you and I have an example of that from last Friday night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, we just need to be aware of that. So, I want to ask you guys, too, what is your ability to affirm others? This is a pretty powerful question. So, how easily can you affirm others? Or is it hard for you? If it's hard for you, it's something you need to work at. It was hard for me when I was in the corporate world. I will say I don't give weak affirmations. And you guys can probably either deny this or, you know, tell me I'm wrong, but I feel like when I give you an affirmation, it's a substance. It's a something you've done that's concrete. And that, to me, is where it matters. But what is your ability to affirm others? Anybody want to share on that?
I think that mine, now looking at it, I've been really working on it through the time, so I think I'm really good at home,
mm-hmm.
and I tried with Mary Kay, but now looking at my J-O-B, I don't really think there I do it a whole lot, or maybe someone I don't know a whole lot.
Right, right.
So I guess to work on that to all the way around, and to continue at home and that way too.
Yeah, and it's so true, and it's so important to know where you're starting from. Like, is it easy for you or is it hard for you? I will tell you, one of the hardest things for women to do is compliment someone else. Have y'all thought about that?
No, not till now.
It is one of the hardest things for us to do is to compliment another female, but someone else in general. Because it's we think in our heads, we feel inferior to compliment someone else, which is so not true. But saying to someone, oh, man, great dress. That just looks awesome. Now, we as women, we're probably the only ones that are going to say that to another female. Because if a guy says it, the female's going to think, oh, he's hitting on me. Right?
Hopefully.
That was good. But, you know, really, we need to pay attention to that. And we need to affirm others, and not just our Mary Kay people. You know, everybody across the board. I know, Brenda, I remember it was after you and I went shopping, and you wore an outfit to church that we had gotten, and everybody at church was just just affirming. Not intent, but just saying how great it looked on you. And that was awesome to hear. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we give that back? Or are we kind of stingy with those? And they're called compliments, but really they're affirmations. You know, another part of that is receiving the affirmation. And Brenda, I'm going to use you as an example on this one. Brenda got new glasses, and they look awesome. They are rocking her look, seriously rocking her look. And the first time I saw her in the new year, I'm like, dang, Brenda, you look great. And it just goes with her face and her hair and her complexion. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, you got new glasses. They look so good. And we're just like, oh, are you sure? I'm not real sure about them. Are you sure? And I didn't take a visit, Brenda. Don't worry. But a lot of people can see that as, well, my opinion apparently isn't good enough. Because accepting the compliment is hard for us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we still really work on that.
Yeah,
and,
I'm not saying that.
Yes, Melissa, I agree. I mean, we all do.
Right. We try to brush it off like, oh, this whole thing.
Exactly. This whole
mm-hmm.
thing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And all that saying to the person is, oh, you don't have good taste, obviously, because this is just an old thing.
Uh-huh.
So we need to remember that. And, you know, I actually used to do this practice and say, just say thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's so valuable to the other person. And I'm going to give you guys an example. Yesterday, we had the big girls lunch, and I had studio time, so I was dressed as I usually am when I leave the house. I had on a dress and a cool long jacket on top of it, just hip and happening. And so I was at Office Depot, and this older gentleman, he might have been 70. He might have been a little bit younger, but probably 70. And he comes up to me and he goes, I am sure you hear this all the time, but I just want to tell you, you are such an attractive woman. And I said, I don't hear that all the time, so I want to say thank you. Thank you for that compliment. That is just so sweet of you to walk over here to tell me. And you should have seen his smile. He must have lit up the whole room and the whole Office Depot. Now, you know, of course, guy's like, yeah, dirty old man. I'm like, whatever. Just give it a compliment. Leave it alone. I mean, come on. He's married. He told me about his wifey as he called her. And, you know, it was just cute because it made his day to give someone a compliment. And it made his day for that person to receive it. So we really need to be conscious of that as we're doing the words of affirmation. So what's your ability to affirm others? And it's very important for you to know where you stand, so pay attention to that. There are three dialects in affirmations. The first one is encouragement. The second one is praise. And the third one is kind words. I'm going to talk about each of those real quick. So encouragement is to inspire courage. The key to that is all of us have areas that we feel insecure. It might be our looks. It might be our body shape. It might be not going to the gym. Whatever it is, we lack courage, and we lack courage, but our lack of courage also hinders us from accomplishing the positive things we would like to do. Boy, did Mary Kay have this peg. Because she said, if you don't like something about yourself, go get it fixed. Go hold the class, make some money, and go get it fixed. Did she know us or what? That was like, oh, my goodness. I've shared with Rachel before. I've asked Rachel, what do you think's holding you back? And one of the things that drives her nuts is her car, because it has sunspots. Of course, no, the answer is, okay, earn one. That's easy. Well, in the meantime, what do you do? And so I told her, I said, go get a quote to have it painted. It's not like it's been in a wreck. It's just sunspots. So go know what you're talking about. Know what you have to make in order to pay for that paint job. Now, of course, needs to pay for the paint job, she'll earn the car in the meantime on the way, right?
And then it'll sell quicker.
Yeah, that's what I told her, too. I said, it makes life easy. But there's... Every one of us has something that is the fear of insecurity. It's something. So if we can know what it is, what that roadblock is, it really helps us to move past, and the success comes from that. That's why I said Mary Kay had it pegged. If there's something you don't like about yourself, get it fixed. I had braces put on at 27 years old because I didn't like my teeth. Now, I had TMJ really bad as well, but I had one tooth out of place, and it bugged me. Beyond words, it bugged me. And my brother and sister had really, really bad teeth, like really bad, like five teeth too many in their mouth or something like that. So they got braces. Understandable. I didn't really need braces for the aesthetics of my mouth. I needed braces for me for the cosmetic end of my mouth. So I agreed with my, as I got older, I agreed with my mother's decision for me not to get braces. Of course, when I was that age, I was like, what? 40 above a hat? But anyway, I agreed then. So I got them myself. And I got my teeth fixed. I say I have a $3,000 smile. It's really, yeah, I do, because I paid that much for the braces. So is it your teeth? Judy Frank, she's a great example of this. Her teeth really bothered her. At age 54, she went and had braces got put on. Because I told her, go get them fixed. That's an easy solution. Now, it hurts like heck at our age. But look at how she smiles today. Does Judy Frank not have one of the most amazing smiles that just opens the light to her? And she used to not smile. So in her teeth, I shared that with my mom this morning. We have some pictures, and I'll share them with you guys later. But when we were at leadership, the Nationals got their pictures taken, and so I was in there. I had done mom's makeup, and I was in the room with the photographer, and I'm like, make her show some teeth. Make her show some teeth. And the pictures where she is showing teeth are gorgeous. They're so warm. Her face is just lit up versus hiding her teeth because she's always felt uncomfortable. Right, Mom?
Yep. Right.
So, and I told her, I said, see, all those years you made fun of my cheerleading style, look, it just makes you a happier person. But when you can smile big and not care, and we still care, but it's just, you know, if it's something that bothers you, then go get it fixed. Mary Kay had that just nailed. So encourage one another and build each other up. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. That's what the encouragement does, the encouraging word. So the other one is encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today. That's Hebrews 3:13. That just reiterates, encourage one another daily, all day. If it's called today, you need to be encouraging someone. Well, what's today called? Today. In other words, every day. So the key there is having a desire. So until a person, like if there's something that you don't like about yourself, and your, for instance, losing weight, if your husband's like, well, yeah, you know, well, if you lost weight, well, you know what? No one's going to do something until they have the desire themselves to do it. I didn't start losing my weight until I was ready to start losing it. God could have told me every day of the week, and that wouldn't have mattered. Until I was ready, it was not going to happen. And I think that's all of us. Okay, so encouragement requires empathy and seeing the world from your spouse's or the other person's perspective. So encouragement requires empathy. If someone's love language is words of affirmation, they need encouragement. You've got to see the world from their side. So what encouraging words do you like to hear? That's something to think about, too. Y'all are going to have some homework after this, I have to tell you. Okay, so one other thing. The kind words that I wanted to talk about as well. Kind words, I mean, that's so easy, guys. That's like a no-brainer. Just kind things to say. But I think the key to that is they have to have meaning and they have to have substance. Again, tone of voice is where kind words come in. I can say, I love you, and I have that little at the end, and it's like, yeah, whatever, I'm just saying the words. Or I can say, I love you. And you can hear my smile. That's why Mary Kay always said your smile can be heard. So a soft answer turns away anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns around anger. That's huge. That's a huge statement. My grandmother used to always tell my sister, you can attract more bees with honey than vinegar, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Honey to her. She called her honey. But you can attract more bees with honey than vinegar. In other words, your tongue is exactly that. And last but not least is humble words. You know, when we are wanting to love on people, love makes requests, not demands. Pleasant words, sharing words. They're the honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. That's Proverbs 16:24. So pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. How amazing do you feel when you get a compliment like, wow, you look really hot today, or man, that is a great outfit on you? Or just like, wow, you look really awesome. What did you do different? And the answer is not, I washed my hair today. Let's just get real here, ladies. Let's not use that answer, please. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. Like, your hair looks awesome. They're like, I washed it. Okay, great. That's awesome. Not a good answer. Anyway, okay. So I want to share this that was really powerful. Well, actually, let me say, do you guys have any questions about what I shared?
No questions. I'm enjoying this one.
Good. Awesome. And it goes across the board. Kids, parents, you name it. So, okay, so here's the homework. During the week, in your journal, because we're journaling stuff, think back to affirming words you have received. Notes, emails, verbally, and of those, what made the words most meaningful? So what helped you really better? Like, what helped you really feel affirmed in the notes or what someone said to you? Okay? So you're going to be journaling that piece. Like, where was it? What part of it helped you? Okay, and then with that, I want to give you this. The highest human need is the need to feel appreciation. Did y'all know that? To feel appreciated is one of the highest human needs there is, next to food and water. Hard to believe, isn't it? That was pretty shocking for me. Okay, and then make a list of potential affirmations you could share with those in your life. And here are the categories you're going to use. So your parents, if they're still alive, what are potential affirmations you could use with them? Siblings, what are affirmations you could use with them? Coworkers, Rachel, you nailed that one. You knew I was going to say that. What are potential affirmations you could share? Close friends. And then anybody you're in a relationship with, that sister-in-law, mother-in-law, mother-in-law falls into parents, but relationships, not just necessarily love relationships. So your challenge this week is to affirm someone this week in your workplace, if you work outside of Mary Kay, your personal setting, church, home, and then your Mary Kay setting. So you have three situations you need to affirm people in. And you're going to be amazed first at the responses you get, especially in the workforce. This is like a test of, I always give like, let's test this theory. So this is the test of the theory. And then if someone you know has words of affirmation as their love language, make a list of things you appreciate about them. And then add to the list as it goes, because that helps affirming them so much easier. That, I love the fact that that gives me the freedom in my Mary Kay business to do what I need to do and never gives me a guilt trip or never even says, oh, well, I don't have anything to eat, none of that. And that is a huge blessing for me. So that's one of his affirmations, is that he gives me the freedom to run my Mary Kay business without any guilt or any statement about it. Okay, so do y'all have your assignments to take away?
Yep.
You think they're going to be difficult? Does anybody think they're going to have a difficult time with them?
No.
Good.
I can do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can.
Well, I'll be interested to hear what the comments are back from the workplace affirmations and what is responded to you. That to me is like one of the funniest that I've seen in the past, just watching that happen. So, and if you don't have that, Mom, like for you, like at St. Catherine's,
mm-hmm.
That's a great area because those nurses, Lord, do they need to be affirmed on a daily basis?
Mm-hmm.
Those are like angels in disguise in nurses' uniforms. Okay, so before I close, Mom, do you have anything you want to share?
No, I think this is great. I'm looking forward to filling up my love tank.
Yeah. We want our love tank completely full. What about you guys, right?
Right.
Totally there. I agree. Because, you know, I was raised with the philosophy of, you know, you shouldn't need a man for anything. Like, just don't need someone. Just do it yourself or be independent, basically, which was good. I was really glad I was raised that way. And so when you have your love tank full, it makes so much difference in your life by a long shot. So, okay, so I want to close with this scripture, and it really hit home to me that it really needs to be our scripture for this as a whole and for Mary Kay. So ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Know and it shall be opened unto you. And that's Matthew 7:7. So we know not because we ask not. What are you asking God for in your prayer time? So ask for words that you need to share with someone. Ask him to place some things on your heart that you need to affirm to others. You know, be his vessel. Be his mouth. Be his vessel for others that need to hear something he wants them to hear. So be open enough to hear them. And be obedient enough to follow through and share those words. So I just hate that O word, that obedient word. It does not, that's a challenge for me, I'll tell you that. But it's all what we need to do. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for calling in, and I will give you guys updates from the Capitol as I talk to the legislators. Have a great week, and I can't wait to talk to each of you guys throughout the week and see you Monday.
It was a great meeting. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Guys.
Bye.
Thanks, talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.